Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Let's get down.
Kaya Biz.
Let's get down to business.
On the street.
On the air.
On the air. You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959 with myself, Guguletu Mfupi. I'm super stoked today because we have one of the CEOs of a leading financial services company in South Africa that's been around for 50 years this year. Quite frankly, a bank, as I mentioned earlier, for the people, by the people, serving the people. One that I think is South Africans, black South Africans, we certainly need to be proud of an institution of this manner that continues to grow, to evolve, and to meet the needs of their customer base. Speaking of which continues to grow. To tell us more about the entity's growth so far, we're joined by the CEO of African Bank, Mr. Kennedy Bongane, also known as Mr. KGB. How are you, sir?
Gugs, it's great to be here. Great to be at Kaya. It feels like a Kaya.
I'm glad. We're excited to have you with us in studio. And of course, also on the Jubilee celebration of the institution. And maybe let's just start there. For many South Africans who don't know the rich history behind this organization, It really does stand as a cornerstone of transformation, excellence, and financial inclusion for many South Africans.
Because I'm glad you're starting us there, because short-term memory is a difficult thing to conquer. Too many of us remember African Bank and associated with Mashonisa, with it having been a micro lender over the last 25 years. The story is much deeper and much more meaningful than that. This bank was established by black entrepreneurs who, 4 weeks after the Rivonia trial, gathered in Soweto at the Orlando High and envisaged a bank for the people, by the people, serving the people. A financial services company that would be different because it would obsess about their own life journeys, whether as households, as young people, as entrepreneurs, as businesses that seek to grow. And that was the vision of African Bank. It took over 11 years for them to obtain a banking license. That's what you dealt with back in those days with the apartheid government. And in July 1975, the Garankuwa branch was opened. We celebrate that Jubilee milestone this year with these results. We celebrate a resilience, a bank of necessity. And it is that sense of mission that has inspired the Accelerate strategy that is today enabling us to report the results that we're talking about. It is a strategy that seeks to become true to that original mission,
yes,
of a fully fledged, scalable, sustainable bank,
yes,
that is a go-to for entrepreneurs and for those that are underserved and underserviced, the black community of this country.
100%. You mentioned entrepreneurs. I'm going to come back to that word because I know it's a key market for you in terms of your growth strategy going forward. But let's talk about the numbers. Profit essentially increasing by 15%. Mm-hmm. Customer numbers now sitting at 6.1 million, mm-hmm, which in my brain is twice the size of Namibia's population. So it's sizable. Talk us through some of the levers that you've pulled at in order to attain this level of growth.
Beautiful. So 15% uplift in net profit after tax,
yes,
in the reporting period. This is driven very much by 20% uplift in our assets. We've more than doubled our asset base since we started in 2021, yes, on this journey. But that 20% growth has come through largely from our business and commercial bank. 49%.
And that makes sense given the bolt-on acquisitions that you made, Sasfin, as well as Grindrod a few years ago.
Exactly. Exactly spot on. So it is that acquisitive growth and some organic growth with the capabilities that we've obtained with the asset-based finance, commercial property, all of this capability from those successfully integrated banks. We've also got a phenomenal growth in transactional banking. So we launched the MyWorld account. We've got 36% uplift year on year on MyWorld account. This is over 2.4 million of our customers that are now having transactional capability with us. We've got the digitally cutting edge bank app. It is the best in the market. You should try it. And There we demonstrates that we can now grow non-interest revenue, not just interest revenue that is much more expensive because it's balance sheet lending. We can now grow through transactional services, and that de-risks our balance sheet, improves the quality of our earnings. The story, though, is that because we've built this capability over the last 4 years, we had the luxury, Google, of not growing our personal lending in the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
It's only grown by 3%, as you can see. And
help us understand that. Is that your response perhaps to the macroeconomic environment and stricter lending conditions, or is it your customers saying, hold on, we'll manage with what we've got at the moment?
It is the former.
Okay.
So it is our reading of the tough macroeconomic situations and the our clientele still going through the most with respect to disposable income. Mm-hmm. And so it would be reckless for us to, you know, to lend even more to them.
Yes.
So we've taken this period of time to reground our credit scorecards. This had not been done in over 15 years.
Mm.
And that enables us to recalibrate ourselves to the selective customer segments that we want in the middle and the bottom of the pyramid. But it's also enabled us to do some special things around capabilities to help our customers through their life journeys.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason that we've had such high non-performing loans, about 45% at the time of curatorship, it's now down to 29.6%.
Yes.
Part of that, and this is part of the conversation I get a lot when I speak to our customers, to say, but KGB, when I take a loan with you guys, your people are the first ones to hound me, you know, the first ones that are most impatient with me and cannot understand what I go through.
Yes.
And that's because we just did not have the capabilities around restructures of loans, helping customers when they go through life moments, and to understand how to help them reschedule and replan their obligations, repayments to us. And all of this will help us not just manage our stage one, stage two, stage three impairments well, but it will help us enable our customers through their life experiences, so that we're not just seen as a bank that is your umbrella, and that umbrella gets removed the moment things are tough. We want 100%. To walk through end-to-end life journeys with our customers. That is the kind of stuff that makes us a credible bank for the people, by the people, serving the people.
I think what you've described is so critical, right? Because so often in South Africa, when we read headlines about banks going through failures in Europe and in the US, we don't appreciate that we actually have such tough, stringent, but very necessary governance controls to make sure that banks such as yours have the right capital adequacy ratios.
That's right.
That essentially means the bank has enough money in the bank to actually pay us out should anything go wrong, including what we do see in terms of your credit impairment charges. As we do see that, that is coming down. But of course, being patient with the consumer to say, hey, manage your debt effectively, and really coming out of the former concerns we had from African Bank well over a decade ago. This leads us then to understand...
Before we even proceed to that, from that, you're making such a brilliant point. Because we will have won if our customers, both entrepreneurs and households, don't stop a conversation with us when they cannot pay us.
Yes.
They don't have to run away from us. They don't have to feel that they're being hounded like criminals.
Mm-hmm.
And loathe the call from African Bank. We want them to call us. We want them to look forward to a conversation with us, because it would be a conversation that says, okay, so what do we do together?
Yes.
So that if there's been an accident, if there's been a bereavement, if there's been a crisis, and you cannot pay us for the next 3 months, what do we do to ensure that you stay on track, you stay, your credit rating does not change, we help where we can, but even more importantly, what can we do to ensure that we to your point, still meet our own governance, capital and liquidity obligations that enable us to be a steadfast, sustainable bank that protects its depositors.
Exactly.
And so that is what we've been working on. We will be launching in the next few weeks, and I'm going to give this to
break
you exclusively.
Okay, go ahead.
We'll be launching a set of products, Googs, that I think will speak to some of this.
In the business segment or consumer?
In the consumer space. We'll be launching what I call our Isiko bouquet of services. Yeah, you heard me right, Isiko.
All right.
So you know our people, we do life, right?
Yes.
And when we do life, we don't just need a wedding savings account.
Because it's not a one-day event.
Because it's not a one-day event.
Mm-hmm.
We need a lobola. We need all the traditional stuff right through to the wedding at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll be launching a solution that enables you to blend these moments with us.
Yes.
Both to save, but also to access credit bespoke for the events, so that when lelo siko lifika, whether umcimbi or ukusumntwana entabeni, or it is you've got a financial sector partner that understands who we are, what we do, and how we do life.
Yes. KGP, this is so refreshing and interesting to hear, because just the makeup of those products must be something so innovative to speak to the needs of your customers uniquely. There's so much more that we want to explore, and we'll invite you back to tell us more about
that. You should, actually.
We will.
Team, yeah.
It's Dan. Dan, fantastic. Let's very quickly go to the growth opportunities that exist, and perhaps this one is twofold. As you mentioned earlier, entrepreneurship, and those are the client base that really is contributing significantly to your growth. Help us more in understanding how it is that you're trying to capture this market, which remains very competitive in the South African environment and is also very easily swayed by macroeconomic conditions. We witnessed that just with the COVID-19 pandemic.
You're spot on. So just to embellish on what you've said, compared to emerging market countries of our size, you know, the Malaysias, the Techies, we actually have got the fastest GDP growth on your large corporates.
Yes.
The best financial services solutions on your large corporates and your wealthy.
Got you on that.
The moment you go to the middle and the bottom of the pyramid, where most of the population is at, we are nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the reason why we have such a benign GDP growth, part of the reason why, even when there is growth, it doesn't create as many employment opportunities as in similar type emerging market economies, it's because we do not have fledgling SME and entrepreneurial sector.
Yeah.
In fact, we have one of the highest failure rates of SMEs and entrepreneurs in the world. A bank that was created by the entrepreneurs obsesses about how we solution for that.
Gotcha.
And so part of the stuff that we're talking about is that in April, we launched a digital credit, a digital lending capability that enables entrepreneurs on their phone, with an option, of course, to walk into a branch or to call someone direct, a full service offering right on their phone. That will enable them to access up to 5 million rand of financing within 24 hours. Because entrepreneurs need decisions made quickly, right?
Exactly.
And they need access to finance, right? But we also know that it doesn't end there, Cooks.
Yes.
We're bringing an offering that's got an ecosystem of support for entrepreneurs. What my colleague Zoli Manyati, one of the best business bankers of my generation, calls how we win when entrepreneurs win.
Yes.
Because entrepreneurs, actually, they want to run the business of their business. They don't want to worry about SARS and returns. They don't want to worry about payroll and UIF.
They
don't
support.
Have to worry about all of these things which are pertinent for the survival of growing and fledging businesses.
Yeah.
And so we bring all of the support to this offering so that entrepreneurs can get other entrepreneurs to help them with administrative, non-business stuff as they worry about the business of their business.
100%. We're looking forward to seeing that growth, especially on the back of the concerns of the South African economy. To wrap up with, though there's so much more to discuss, quick one, Accelerate strategy, where are we now? You've bolted on the acquisitions. What's going to happen now in terms of the settling and the growth that we should anticipate? And of course, any final date to the IPO?
These half-year results show that the new integrated business and commercial businesses actually are starting to register through to the bottom line. They've given us the luxury to sort out and to fix the stuff we needed to do in personal banking, which did not grow in the last 6 months very deliberately, but will come back full force in the second half and maybe mostly in FY26. What this means is that we are on track in building from a monoline micro lender. We are on track in building a data digitally enabled, diverse business that is scalable, that is sustainable, and that offers a fully fledged personal business and commercial offering to the middle and the bottom of the pyramid. A bank for the people, by the people, serving the people is on track.
100%. Always such a pleasure speaking to you, sir. I could speak to you for hours and hours and hours because there's so much to explore in the banking space. But thank you for giving us an update on the earnings, on
my
the
pleasure.
Results, and of course, the strategy going forward. We will follow up with the team regarding the launch of Isigo and seeing how it does change financial access and opportunities to many of your customers. Thank you.
Cooks,
again.
Thank you very much for having us.
Kennedy Bongane, the CEO of African Bank.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.